Welcome to the Hallelujah House Podcast, an extension ministry of the Hallelujah House blog, where we encourage women to glorify God in heart, heritage, and home. This is Tammy Carter Adams.
And I'm Liz Hammond. We invite you to join our conversation today. Come on, sit around our table.
Welcome home. All right, we've got a good one today. Liz, we're going to be talking about how to keep anxiety from ruining your Christmas.
Oh, goodness. Yes, we need some help there, don't we?
We tend to, as women, especially with the dawn of social media, you're looking at people decorating these beautiful homes.
Perfection. And
they're, yes, they're striving for perfection. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you just thrive to meet that, criteria of what they're putting out there. Mm-hmm. And so I even bought greens already.
I
saw a woman on Instagram and she had these pretty like garland green strands. Okay, Franklin's outside.
All right, we're going to have to put her. That's what it used to be.
That's Franklin. Liz's dog Piper, and she's in heat right now. Yeah. And so she's in the dining room with us as we're filming, and she's looking out the French doors at our goat dog Franklin, which you guys have met at the Hallelujah House. I've introduced him a couple of times. And so we do not want her near him, or we're going to be in trouble.
Oh, no. Got to protect this little innocent one right here.
I know. We're trying to keep her virgin.
Mm-hmm. The Virgin Mary.
So if you hear her barking every now and then, if it gets too loud, we'll move her into another room. But we're trying to keep her calm. But yeah, so talking about, I saw this Instagram woman and I reached out to her. I even reached out to the woman and asked her where she bought her greenery from.
Oh.
And I get it, and I'm pulling it out of the box, and it doesn't look nearly as nice as hers.
She probably fluffed it up for a couple hours.
I don't know. So I was a little disappointed there, but hey, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to deck the halls.
Wow.
I'm excited. I come back from the stores that have been playing, like if I hear a store playing Christmas music and I am just like antsy and I look at Jay and go, I'm so excited. I'm giddy. Jay's like, oh my goodness, calm down.
Well, I've been thinking about all the desserts I get to bake for Christmas. I am a baker, so I've been baking up a storm for Thanksgiving, but I love, there are certain desserts you can only make at Christmas time. Oh. Like my white chocolate raspberry cheesecake is a Christmas dessert. My peppermint panache is a Christmas dessert.
Oh, my.
Oh yeah. I can't wait.
Preach, girl.
I'm thinking about it.
So you got one decorator and you have one baker sitting here from the Hallelujah House. Want to talk to you about keeping your anxiety down at Christmas time. So I just wanted to start with some statistics that are crazy. And I do think social media has increased anxiety, especially with women. There's an expectation to reach this perfect level, especially in the holidays. But here they are. Approximately 30% of the adult population in North America have anxiety or unwellness issues, some type of anxiety disorder. And only one-third will receive treatment. And of those, only 10% will receive the proper treatment. Those who experience anxiety have a very high propensity for drug abuse and addictions. The number of antidepressant items prescribed over the past 6 years has increased by 34.8%. It was 61.9 million items prescribed in 2015 to 2016. And now it's at 83.4 million items prescribed. That's an alarming drugs being issued there.
Yep,
and we're not saying that this is not speaking into a chemical anxiety disorder. We do realize that there are people that do need the medication. Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk about your experience with that.
Several years ago, just before they finally diagnosed me with Hashimoto's hypothyroidism, I came down in the middle out of nowhere with the worst anxiety. I honestly didn't even know what anxiety was at that point. I mean, of course I'd heard about it, but I'd never experienced it. And then all of a sudden I get it. And it is such an extreme fear that cripples you. I couldn't ride in a car. I couldn't sit down and watch TV with my family. I couldn't go into a restaurant. I was pacing the floors like a caged tiger. I didn't understand what was wrong with me. And every night I was reading the Word of God. Just my eyes were even jittery, like they would be almost moving. I couldn't hardly focus on the Bible. And this was well before I needed readers. But it kind of feels like that, like you can't see straight. Come to find out, it was my Hashimoto's that was causing the anxiety. It was a hormonal chemical imbalance in my body. My body was depleted of it. But I did have to go on a temporary anxiety medicine for a period of 40 days. And I'm very thankful because at that time it took me from a 10 extreme anxiety down to about a 6 or 7. And I was grateful. Talk about being grateful. I was grateful just to come down for that. But, I, you know, God eventually lifted me up out of that with the help of a hormonal medicine. And, so I feel for people that, that have that, that, that endure because of chemical or hormonal imbalances.
Yeah, so we were discussing when in our lives we felt anxiety, and I cannot relate to what she's speaking into, but I have recently, my cortisol and estrogen levels have been through the roof, and so my doctor looked at my lab work and said, I know you're not sleeping, and I'm not, you know, I'm running, I feel like I could run a marathon at night, and then I'm dragging during the day, so it's like, you know, I'm just in that space right now, but I'll get through it. I'm going to get through it and it'll be all right. It'll iron itself out. So the anxiety we are talking about here is more of a fear. It's like a, it's not a chemical and part of a chemical imbalance, but I'm talking about fear of not adding up or fear of missing out, fear of not belonging, fear of not accomplishing, those kinds of things. And God mentioned fear, we know 365 times in his word. One for every day of the year, because it's really something God knew we would struggle with, I believe. But the God's word also mentions the word anxiety. And there are some verses here that he gives us in his word that talk about anxiety. Okay. How do we combat our anxious thoughts? And here's one. And this is in Romans 8, 38 through 39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. So that is a Bible verse that is applicable to, we need to remember that God still loves you no matter what. And that you're never separate from it. And then there's Matthew 6:34. Do you want to read that one, Liz?
Yeah, let me get out my readers real quick.
We old ladies around here.
I got to have some readers on for this. All right, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. How true is that?
Yes. So God wants us to focus on just the day we're on. He's not asking us to think about what we got to do tomorrow and not saying that you shouldn't plan ahead, but not to worry about tomorrow. I think that's the
key. To be in the present moment and someone look at you and go, what's going on? What are you thinking about? And then you have to confess, well, I'm thinking about all that I got to do this next week. And I'm thinking, why aren't you just here in this present moment? Like, let's just live right now. Don't be focused and worried. Because it's going to take, I mean, look, you're going to have to deal with it on the day when it comes. You're going to have to deal with it.
Exactly.
Enjoy today.
And then Philippians 4:6 is another popular one. I know you know this one. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanks, let your requests be made known to God. So with thanks. And we're getting ready to approach Thanksgiving. And we, you know, we've talked about on a previous podcast about Thanksgiving. And having a grateful heart. And I think that this is something that when you have a grateful heart does combat anxiety. And then the last one, I've got one. Did you have another one you wanted to
add? Well, there's one that I quote to my son a lot. And I know he's okay with me sharing this, but he struggles with anxiety. And he can have extreme bouts of it. And there's a verse that I quote to him often. when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought comfort to my soul.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's great.
And it's found in Psalms 94:19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought, they say, joy to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants us to turn to him mm-hmm. when we're anxious.
Yeah.
He's not going to reprimand us. He's not going to be upset with us. He's not going to shake his finger at us. He will console us. He's a good father. He will comfort us. Mm-hmm. So don't be fearful about even taking your anxiety to God. Just confess it to him.
Oh, yeah. That's good. And then the last one I have in here is, and which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? That's Matthew 6:27.
Yep.
So if anything, anxiety takes a hold of your life, and like it's a life destroyer,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the stress is not good for your body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to add to your life. It's only going to take away from your life. Okay, beyond medication, what are some things that ways we can treat anxiety?
Well, like we talked about earlier, being grateful,
mm-hmm.
finding things to count, you know, the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one.
Mm-hmm.
Count your many blessings, see what the Lord has done. Like, remind yourself of God's faithfulness to you.
Yeah.
If he got you through whatever you've gone through before, and he has the power and the interest in you and concern with you to get you through what you're going through now.
Mm-hmm.
So count your blessings.
Mm-hmm. Another one, meditating on the power of God.
Mm.
When we slip into anxious thoughts pattern, we can, it's like having a crisis of faith
mm-hmm.
and we're not recognizing God's power in our lives to provide, to equip, to protect us.
Yeah.
Instead, we're focusing on ourselves and our own abilities
mm-hmm.
and that it's all on us
right.
to get it done, you know, and to get it done right, to get it done just like that woman decorating her house on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I love, and this speaks into my mama's soul, is spending time in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I take the kids out and like, let's go get mm-hmm. outside, you mm-hmm. know, because nature reminds us of this power that God has, who puts the stars in the universe,
mm-hmm.
you know, who changes the leaves color. Right now we're seeing some pops of color popping out. And so if he can do that, he can very well take care of any problems we have.
Yeah. And I think he created the earth for us to take pleasure in. We mm-hmm. we live here, but he surrounds us with such beauty and majesty.
Yes.
And it is soothing and calming and comforting and invigorating at times mm-hmm. and rejuvenating
mm-hmm.
and so tranquil. Like for me, the beach. The beach is,
mm-hmm.
I see the Lord's magnificence and the awe of his creation when I'm at the beach and the ocean is so mighty and vast and the brilliant hues of blue. And then the colors and the grain of the sand, the powder softness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beautiful sunlight that's usually at the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it truly, I feel like I'm like in the very presence of God when I'm at the beach.
And for me, it's in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think, you know, I kind of grew up in the woods. So, you know, our house was tucked. We had woods behind our house. And so that was my playground was the woods. And I tell y'all about that a lot. And so God really would speak to me in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, during COVID, I'll never forget this. We had everybody here. And I was just like, oh my goodness. I mean, we had my mother-in-law. Yeah, my mother-in-law was here, and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their kids. And so, you know, the house was loud, and you know, this place was full. And I remember one day after homeschooling Bella, I just had to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just put on my hiking boots and I went for a hike in the woods, and I sat under a tree. And I just started praying and asking God, what is this about, God? Mm-hmm. What is this about, you know? And I wrote a blog about it, and I'll try to link that to this podcast. But I just remember looking up and seeing, and all the pine trees around me were crackling. They mm-hmm. were crackling and the branches were falling. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, you know, I forgot to bring the gun with me. I don't have my radio. You know, what if I'm out here by myself? What if a bear is coming up, you know? And, but it was the trees crackling. And mm-hmm. I look and the sun shines right through those trees, right onto an oak tree. Mm-hmm. And all I heard in my spirit was oaks of righteousness, oaks of righteousness. I will make them oaks of righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so so when I came back, I meditated on that verse because that's what he does. You know, he wants you to meditate on that verse and figure out what he's trying to tell you. But I didn't understand what he was trying to tell me. And basically, he was trying to show me that I'm going to make my people strong, you know, stronger through adversity.
Mm. Oh yeah.
You know? So that really spoke to me. And I just saw the pine trees, you know, like the world is the pine trees crumbling away, but his oaks are going to be stronger.
Oh yeah.
And so that was awesome. So that's how that nature speaks to me.
Yeah.
Nature tends to bring us things back to a healthy perspective too. Mm-hmm. Look at the ant, the leaf cutter ant, and how they care. They just, they're busy. They're working. Mm-hmm. They're just keeping their heads down, doing their job, you know? And they're not worried. Mm-mm. You know, you don't see them stressing. Mm-mm. You stomp on one of their hills, what do? They start building it back up. Digging out, you know.
Yeah. And I hate those pesky ants. But
I know. We got fire ants here.
They are hard workers.
They are. We can acknowledge that. Okay, I want to read this verse here. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Mm-hmm. So even God reveals himself through nature. If you've not heard of God, you know, even that he is revealing himself through nature.
That's right.
So another thing is realize your life is not your own. You're off the hook. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you've given your life to Christ, you're off the hook. Mm-hmm. Your life belongs to him. So whatever you're going through, you know, he cares about it and he's going to help you through it.
Yeah.
And stop striving for perfection.
Oh, that's the key right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hear the word cookie cutter. Cookie cutter, it's like right now I just ended up baking about 3 dozen cookies yesterday and I used a sugar cookie dough. I used royal icing, but to make these cookies look really good, you use a mold, a cookie cutter mold to cut the cookies and they are perfect. I'm telling you, they are perfect cookie cutters. But life is not perfect. And you know what? Sometimes when I get those out of the oven and I go to get them off with a spatula, an edge will fall off or, you know, part of the bottom will stick onto the pan. And you just got to say, you know what? It's okay. Life is not perfect. People are not perfect. Things cannot always be perfect. I'm not going to have anxiety because one of my perfect cookie cutter molds created a cookie that came out a little crumbly. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's okay.
Right.
Just put it in your mouth and eat it.
That's right. That's right. It still tastes good.
That one's for me then.
More for you. Yeah, I was telling Liz that I do get caught up in you know, many Christmases, you know, getting caught up in that perfection cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in my nature for some reason. You know, I was having a quiet time every morning. When the boys were little, I would get up in the, well, it was still dark. And I would light the candle and I would, you know, be surrounded by beautiful Christmas decorations and read the Word of God. And one morning, I remember just looking up at the manger scene and thinking, and then, you know, God spoke into my spirit that, you know, what are you doing? You know, why are you focusing? Why are you exhausted? Why are you focusing on perfection when that's where I was born. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was born in a very imperfect place, a barn, you know, basically. And so it made me just take a breath and just, so every morning after that, I would get up and I would, you know, and I remember taking the manger scene down where I could really look at it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and just remembering to breathe and to remember that you know, enjoy the season. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, don't get so caught up on the frilly part of the season. Now, I enjoy decorating. I'll be honest. Right. That's my thing, girl. But, you know, not to get caught up on it being perfect and being upset if it gets messed up or, you know, that kind of a thing. I think also we need to, in today's culture, turn off our social medias.
Maybe God's calling. If you are the type that gets this anxiety at the holiday season, you start getting anxiety about it, could it be that you need to eliminate some motivators or instigators to your anxiety?
And there's triggers that...
Maybe God's calling you to a fast.
Yeah.
What's a better time to fast from some social media than a special sacred season like Christmas?
Yeah.
And really get the focus where it needs to be. Not on you, not on your family, even though those things are great, but truly on Jesus, the whole reason for this season. Get rid of, choose to fast for a week or so from social media.
But not podcast.
Or vlogs. We're not really a social media, are we?
I don't know. I don't know if it's considered social media.
It's an online website, right?
Yeah.
No, God might be calling you to a fast. And if you've never fasted, there's plenty of great information in the Word of God. Daniel chapter 10, Isaiah 56 talks about fasting. I'm telling you what, the Lord, hey, He's the Lord who heals you. If you've got anxiety and you battle with it your whole life, you could find your healing through fasting sometimes.
And I will tell you that some Christmas music drives me insane. I mean, honestly, you didn't think I was going to say that, did you?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't think you were going to say
some
that.
Some of it, you know, the, you know, it gets me.
The frenzy.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like the Grinch Who Stole Christmas and all the crazy music. Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm not, you know, this is not against anyone that speaks Spanish, but... That song,
Feliz Navidad.
Oh my goodness.
Feliz Navidad.
Over and over and over again. And Bella loves it. And she sings it over and over and over again. And I'm just like, it's just the same thing over and over and over. That type of song. Yes. Yes, that gets me. I mean, I'm like, oh my goodness. So, but there is relaxing music. You know, and I think I will tell you one of my favorite Christmas songs that brings me back to the reason for the season. And I've put it out there in a Christmas video we did is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. That song, I mean, man, speaks to my heart. Yeah, because you think it's and my son Christian nailed it. Him and I went to see the Piano Guys when I took him for a mama date because him and I love music. Surprise, he was actually grounded at the time for getting into a lot of trouble. And I said, well, since you're grounded, you have nothing better to do but then to escort me to go see the Piano Guys. And he was like, all right, mama. So we went and listened. And when that song came on, the whole stage went dark. And the beams of light that came down did not rest on the guys, the two guys that were playing with the piano guy and the cello, which is my favorite instrument, the cello. I just actually got one, so I'm going to start lessons in January.
Wow.
Yeah, and so Christian was like, Mom, this song, he said, it's so, it really speaks to how dark their world was.
Yeah. Wow.
And they were just mourning and they were begging God to come. And I thought, look at our world today.
That's right.
I mean, we're in that space, you know. And then he also said, as we were going to the car, he said, Mama, do you know why they didn't put the spotlights on those men during O Come, Emmanuel? And I said, why? I didn't think about it, you know. And he goes, because they didn't want them to be the highlight.
That's good.
They said that he said the spotlight was on Jesus. And I thought, that's so good.
Yeah.
So insightful.
That was Christian, you said?
Christian said that.
He is very insightful.
He's very insightful.
Let me tell you my favorite Christmas song.
Okay.
It's by a group called Avalon, and it's called We Are the Reason. And it's an old song written by, I believe, David Meese way back in the early 80s. But Avalon did a redo on it, or whatever you call it, and put it on their album probably back in early 2000, maybe the late 90s, early 2000s. It is beautiful. Talks about as little children, we would yearn for Christmas morn and all the toys that we would get, but we never realized a baby born one blessed night gave us the greatest gift of our life. And then Michael Passions, who sings for Avalon, starts singing, "We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died."
That is so good.
Oh, man. I can't hear that without tearing up. And I'll listen to it way more than just at Christmas time. But it is my favorite for Christmas. And you can't have anxiety when you listen to something like that that just tells you the whole reason for Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's all about him.
Yeah. Another song that is a modern song. What's that song? He Came Like the Snow. Winter Snow, I think it's what it's called.
I don't know what that one is.
You know, it talks about how he came quiet. He came still. He came quiet like the winter snow. And I play that one over and over again.
I'm going to have to hear that one.
Yeah, that one's really beautiful. You know, he came without celebration. You know, it's so gorgeous. So anyway, back to what we're talking about. So music, relaxing music. You know, my kids, we got Sonos. We just got Sonos in our Orlando home. And when I'm running around the house, I'll put on classical. You know, I love classical music. I don't know why. I guess because I was raised on classical music. My mother was a lover of classical music, and she loved all types of music. But yeah, she played classical a lot. And if I'm painting or writing, sometimes I'll have classical playing in the background. Jazz, you know, any of that without words, you know, sometimes a lot of it will calm me down, you know. Okay. So let's see, where are we? Hot shower or bath at the end of the day.
Oh, now that
a little
right
practical.
There. Yes. Now anyone that knows me knows that is my go-to. I take a bath almost every night, and it's not because I'm dirty. It's because I love to soak in that hot Epsom salt bath. Yes. I always use Epsom salt, Dr. Teal's. I love the nighttime lavender, and I love the eucalyptus and spearmint. Ooh, if you've got sinus issues, that really helps. Get in a hot bath.
I like
bath
the detox one too.
Ooh, yes. But yeah, it is very soothing and calming. Kind of just gets you ready for chill down time.
Have a nighttime routine, you know, and then deep breathing. They were saying that, you know, that's why, you know, everybody, you know, new agers have grabbed onto that, breathing and meditation. Whereas for us, you know, it does sends oxygen to your brain, and it does have ability to calm you.
Yeah.
So that's why. So just breathe, you know, go and breathe somewhere and be alone for a bit, you know. Yeah. Another thing is be realistic about your schedules. Say no. Learn to say no. I mean,
you can't do it
the
all.
The party invites can be, that's one thing that really as a woman has raised my anxiety levels. All the fancy parties and the fancy clothes you have to wear at these parties and mingle. With all the, you know, we associate a lot with people with money that have the best of everything, and I'm sent in to mingle and talk with everyone, and it's like I stress about it gives me anxiety about what to wear these things, you know, and I'm like, is this really worth it? Do I really? I would rather be watching holiday movies with my daughter and popping popcorn. I'm a simple girl, you know. So we are very selective about who we say, how many parties we say yes to, because it can get overwhelming in the holiday season.
And a lot of families live in separate states, and there's the traveling that goes on and the stress of that and trying to get the family together. And, you know, once you start having children and grandchildren, you can't do it all. You've got to be able to balance it, balance your schedule. Don't put too much on yourself, and don't feel guilty for saying no.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to say no.
Or what's best your children, for your family.
Yeah, and
your immediate family.
You don't want your children's Christmas month to see more of the backside of you than the front.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's
seeing you
good.
Going out the door, you know, for something else. So, and that can be easy to do. Another thing is I want to start doing this in January as far as our schedules is, and I've tried to do it. I have not been good at it, but is on Sunday evening, plan your week, plan your meals, write them in your calendar, what you're going to cook on each night, decide what day you're going to go to the grocery store and make your list. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read that from someone else that's into, you know, teaching people how to organize their time. And I thought, that's a great idea. I need to really implement that because it's nothing worse than coming to the end of the night and you're panicking, trying to figure out what to prepare your kids for dinner. Okay. And then find a hobby. Hobbies calm you. When you're utilizing the talents, you know, that skill sets that God's given you as far as hobbies are concerned, there is something to me that's meditative about doing, you know, using that. And I paint. And so I need to utilize my painting when I start to feel crazy, you know.
And for some, it's writing.
For some, it's
journaling.
Writing. Yep.
For some, it's getting
knitting.
Out and, oh yeah, knitting. I used to crochet. I would crochet. And I'd make, in fact, at Christmas time, I always make my mom and my sisters and a lot of people in my family crocheted washcloths because they last forever. And
oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. I've probably got 15 of them. I love them. But it is calming. I've crocheted a blanket for my daddy. And, you know, he passed away about a year ago. I got to keep that blanket.
That's awesome.
Special. But also, like, a hobby. Your hobby might be fitness. You might like to get out and walk. That is very calming. Like
it
nature,
is.
You said.
Exercise,
or you could go to the gym, you know, work out there. It can bring a lot of calm.
Oh, I was going to tell you that recently I taught Bella how to knit hat. Like a little hat on a round loom thing. And her and I were going at it one day here at the farm. And she just looked at me. She goes, "Mommy, this is so satisfying."
Oh,
and I'm like, yes, it is, isn't it?
So cute.
She's so satisfying. All right. So we've already gone over the next one. Play and exercise.
Yes.
Remember to play. Play with your kids.
Dance with your dog. Piper and I do a little jig probably 5 or 6 times a day.
Oh, yeah.
She loves to dance with her mama.
And that leads me to the next one. Pet.
Oh, yes.
Pet your pets. You know, pets are good. They bring down the anxiety levels.
Oh, they
and I do think they're a gift from God.
They really are. Especially, you know, I'm not much for cats. I'm sorry. Some people are real big cat people. My sister
I do
is
not
one.
Understand Liz whatsoever because she does not like cats. And I am a lover
are
of cats.
Are you a cat person?
I am.
Oh,
I have 3.
I'm not a cat person.
I got 2 dogs, 3 cats.
Yeah.
I mean, we are like Noah's Ark at my house.
And my dog Piper, I'm telling you, you can be gone for 5 minutes and she acts like when you come back to the door that you've been gone for 2 days. She will love you and welcome you. And she's so excited to see you. It's just unconditional love. It really is. And the Lord, it is a gift from God. It truly is.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And dogs are like that. And cats, they love you too. But they want to come to you. What reason I like them is they're very independent creatures. They're very much like me. I understand a cat because, you know, they're like, okay, I want you to pet me now, but on my time, on my schedule.
Right.
You know, you know, I've got a very strong independent nature.
I do too. I understand.
So I understand cats. Okay, describe a time in our lives when we felt anxiety and what happened. And I think you've gone through anxiety as an illness, you know, like as an illness per se. When is a time that you felt anxiety? I don't know. You said you never feel anxiety at Christmas time.
I really don't. I don't. Now, I'd said I can tend to get a little anxious and frantic if I have a lot of orders at Christmas time and I'm trying to make sure I get everything done correctly and baked moist or just perfect. You know, you want it to be perfect. So yeah, I can feel a little bit of that angst then. And I just have to go, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and they either like it or they hate it. And if I drop a batch of something, I just got to remake it.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned to not let it get me crazy because it can, it can control you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I did start having chest. Just remembered this. I started having chest pains like regularly. And I remember it got so bad I had to pull the car over and wait it out. And that scared me because I was driving the kids, picking up the kids from school one day, and that happened. And so we went to the doctor, and I'm sitting there. And first of all, this doctor, very good, very excellent doctor in his field, very respected. But he probably weighed 450 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I was just shocked to see him. Yeah. And he spun around on his little stool and looked at me and goes, "I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm not a good doctor because the way I'm heart doctor because the way I look." You know, and he called me out on it, you know. But anyway, so I told him what was going on. They ordered a round of tests. I had to do a stress test, EKG, all of this kind of stuff, you know. And so when I went back in for the consult, discussed the results, he said, everything looked fine. And then he turned and looked at me, and Jay was in the room with me, and he said, "Have you gone through anything traumatic lately?" And I was like, "No." Mm-hmm. And Jay goes, "Her sister died." Mm-hmm. And I just went, "But no, this is physical."
Right.
This is not that. This is physical. I am feeling a physical pain in my heart. And he just looked at me and said, "Our bodies have a way of telling us when we've gone through something traumatic that, and for especially something that's long, you know, we've gone through a long illness, you know, walking with someone through a long illness, that it's almost like the after effects of an earthquake, like the tremors that happen afterward. Your heart, you will feel physical pain in your heart." And I didn't know that. And so we get in the car, and I said, what I asked him, I said, "Well, when will this go away?" And he said, "With time, it'll go away. It's going to go away eventually." So I get in the car, and I'm looking out the window, and I realize that every time the phone rang at my house, I jumped because I thought it was that phone call that, you know, she was gone.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I would do that every time the phone rang. And it does have that effect on you. So being anxious like that in spirit is not good for your bodies.
No.
And so we have to figure out a way to like not make, especially Christmas, you know, that, you know, an anxious filled time where you're just running around doing this all the time and not breathing and holding your breath, you know, to make sure everything turns out perfect. So I wanted to share the story of the manger. I shared it with Liz before we started taping. So one year I told Christian, and I wrote about, this was in a blog, you know, I have no new material. So one year I told Christian, I had unloaded, I called him out to the car. We unloaded these 2x4s out of the back of my car. And I'm like, "Okay, we are going to build a manger scene. I can't find one that's affordable. We are going to build our own in the front yard. And it's going to be fabulous. I want everyone to know the reason for the season and that we are celebrating the reason for the season." And so Christian is like, "Mom, this wood is not going to look like a manger scene." And I said, "No, I'm going to paint it and distress it and antique it. And by the time I get done, it is going to look like the perfect manger scene." And he's like, "Mama, you're still not going to look like a manger scene. It's going to look like a weathered doghouse by the time you get done." So I said, "We're going to do it. We're going to try, Christian. We got to try." So anyway, he goes and he talks to Dad, of course. I said, "Mom's flying off the handle. You know, she's going to have me spend hours building her this doghouse, and it's not going to look like a manger scene." And Dad goes, "We'll handle it, son. We'll handle it." So one day I look outside and I see them pulling these old boards and old like branches of trees and just scrap junk that they had found in an old pile somewhere in the woods. And out of the back of the car, and I was like, "What are y'all doing with that?" And Jay's like, "This is going to be our manger scene." And I was like, "No, this cannot be my manger scene."
What are you thinking?
It must be pretty.
Yeah. It's a manger scene. Come on. It's got to be pretty.
And Jay just looked at me and goes, "Go back in the house. let us do it the way we see, the way we need to do it. And he's like, you just need to trust us. Go back in the house. And so I was like, all right. So I just go back in and I'm, you know, getting upset because my manger scene's not coming together like I planned. And then I see it come together and they put the straw on the floor. They put blue lights inside and had it all glowing. And they had erected everything just by leaning. It's like a lean-to manger scene with scrap junk. And then they had built this little manger, you know, out of scrap boards and leaned them together to make the little manger for the baby. And I walked out there and it was perfect. It looked like a manger scene. And so I went out to get the mail and
it was perfectly imperfect.
Perfectly imperfect.
Yes.
Yep. And a Jewish woman was a friend of mine walked by Yale. Her name is Yale. And she said, Tammy, that is the best manger scene I've ever seen in this neighborhood. And so Christmas Eve, you know, waited till Christmas Eve, the big production. I put out the little luminaire candles all around the manger scene and laid the baby in the manger and had all the kids surrounding it and singing. We sang Christmas carols and everything. But I thought, how perfectly, you said it right, perfectly imperfect.
Yes.
And that's the way our Christmas, if Jesus was born in an imperfect place, why should we make our Christmas perfect, right?
Right. That's right.
That's right. So if you're feeling stressed, take down your manger scene. Mm. Look at it.
Yeah.
And remember and reflect that Jesus was born in a barn with animals.
That's right.
You know.
Not in a mansion with fancy decorations.
And he didn't have any greenery.
No. Oh, no.
What is it called?
The fluff.
You know, the green
garland.
He didn't have any green garland.
No.
And if he did, it'd probably been really thin.
Yeah.
I think it's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
Hope you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.